You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams live from the Right Side studio. Local, state, national. We got all the issues here, man. I'm just telling you. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Hey, I'm going to skip ahead and I'm going to go ahead and jump on the third part of the Triple Dipper. I do that for a reason. The part about Blue City Blues, I may want to save that one for tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see. But for right now, I'm going to move into what I would have had as number three on the Triple Dipper. Good guys with guns. Good guys with guns. And you are welcome to call in. Love to hear from you. I know I got a bunch of Second Amendment guys and ladies out there in the Right Side Ruffian land. So you are welcome to call in, 866-494-9866. Here's my question for you. Do good guys with guns really stop bad guys with guns? My answer is yes. You are welcome to disagree. I would also like to hear if you've ever had a personal experience where being a concealed carry holder or a gun owner of any kind wound up, going in your personal favor or someone who you know. So anyway, here's the thing. Like this has been a collaborative. So as I developed Good Guy with Guns segment for today's show, I got a text from my wife. I got a text from my brother. So Charlene sent me an article. Don't think that the Second Amendment is safe. The fact that the Biden administration does not always get its way does not mean certain things aren't happening. She sent me a story today. This was on, let me pull it back. I think it was Daily Caller. I'm going back to it right now on the text string. And where'd it go? All right. It was a Daily Caller article. Yep. Daily Caller article up in Delaware. This story just happened over the weekend, apparently. Story came out yesterday afternoon. A man has one of those Ring doorbells. And so the police officers weren't paying attention, not realizing they were on video. But ATF agents showed up at a man's house without a warrant, asking for information on the guns that he had purchased. That's not supposed to happen. They were saying that the gun laws require a certain amount of reporting to prevent what they call straw man purchases. So, you know, he had purchased over a certain number of firearms, and therefore they had to make sure that it wasn't straw man purchases, that he wasn't buying them for somebody else who didn't go through the background check. And so they stood there saying, sir, we just need to see them. If you wouldn't mind just unloading them and bring them to the door so we can check the serial numbers, we'd appreciate it. And he's like, are you sure? And he went on to say, too, later on, it was embarrassing. He had these guys with body armor and badges standing in his front yard. He's in a nice neighborhood. Like, the neighbors are wondering what's going on. And they're saying, yeah, sir, we got a clipboard here. We got to check those serial numbers. Please, if you would, just let us see your guns. Folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I am as pro-law enforcement as they come. I love our men and women in blue. But they're being put in some awful situations when they're being sent to people's houses to verify their gun owner status without a warrant. That is not supposed to happen, especially when you consider this guy was law-abiding. And this guy actually did go ahead and say, all right, I'll be right back. And you could hear the police officers talking on the Ring doorbell in the recording. And one of them said, I don't think he believes we're cops. And the other guy said, do you blame him? So they didn't like what they were doing, but they were doing it. And he brought one of the rifles he had purchased. He showed it to them. They verified the serial number. They said, sir, that's enough. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time. And they turned around and walked off. When did this start happening? By the way, two of these guys, one was a local state trooper for Delaware, like local law enforcement, accompanying two ATF agents. So two federal, one state, show up at his front door, knock on his door with a clipboard showing his gun purchases, wanted to validate that they were in his possession. Now, what would have happened had he bought them for his hunting lodge and he kept them in a safe somewhere else? Would they have arrested him? What would have happened if his son, or somebody else for that matter, had taken one to the range that day and didn't have it there in the house? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm flummoxed by this. Great article. I hadn't seen this one. I'm glad my wife sent me that one. Here's the other one that I saw. terms of good guys with guns. I'm laying the foundation here for the discussion about gun rights right now and where we are, and the fact that liberals cannot get their hands around the fact the Second Amendment does say that the right to bear arms shall not be infringed. Well, my brother sent me an article. Jerry Nadler. Oh, Lord, I hadn't seen his name in a while. Jerry Nadler. Nadler, who's like a character off of, you know, some, I don't know, troll movie from, you know, he looks like somebody who's going to be a character in a fantasy movie like, you know, Lord of the Rings or something. But Jerry Nadler, where is Chris's email? My brother Chris sent me this. Yeah, here it is. It was on, it was also Daily Caller, I believe. Got to find it. Yep. Okay. So the bottom line is this. Oh, he sent it to my email. The Daily Caller article. My brother sends it to me. It's Jerry Nadler, the Democrats have recently passed a assault weapons ban. Assault weapons. What's an assault weapon? I don't know. It's a weapon you assault somebody with. So do we have assault bats? I mean, Boomer, do you know? Boomer, do we have assault cars?
I mean, according to them, anything. I mean, assault is anything.
So assault, I don't know. Do we have assault pistols?
Please describe assault.
Boomer, put away your assault knife.
I mean, does it? My little boy is really into baseball right now. He has that bat.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, assault bat. Mm-hmm. If he were to hit something or somebody with it unprovoked, it might be an assault bat.
Assault bat.
And we should have assault bat laws.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Tell Paxman he's safe. the bottom line is this. Nadler was questioned by a Republican in the midst of a hearing on this assault weapons ban. Are you just trying to take them out of common use? His response was, yes, that is the point, to take these out of common use. That's exactly what they want. They want to confiscate weapons. It was not about, you know, it's. By the way, that's two different things there. It's not just a future sale. It's taking them out of common use. That's another way of saying seizure. That's another way of saying, we got your guns, you can't have them. So I'm just telling you, if that day were to ever truly come, which is not going to come right now, Democrats are losing big time. They're not going to get that thing through the Senate. It's not going to pass. It would be challenged if it did. And then you're going to see the midterms. Like they cannot, by the way, the Democrats cannot seem to control themselves at tanking their own chances in the midterms. It's like they look around and go, what else can we do to screw up our own chances in the midterms? I don't know. Let's deal with gun rights today. Okay. And then they rush out there and they literally try to pass something that calls for seizure of weapons from people's houses. And they send the ATF to knock on your door. No. Anyway, all that to say, Nadler wants to take them out of common use. Well, in the meantime, though, the narrative they don't want to deal with is the fact that there are good guys with guns who prevent bad guys with guns from doing things. Love to hear some of your stories, by the way. If you want to call in on this one, 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. Good guys with guns take out bad guys with guns. Do you think it's possible? You ever experienced that yourself? But the media is downplaying that. Story here off of Fox News. A lot of my stories from Fox today, but the next one I've got is from The Federalist, and this one's from Fox, though. Dated today. Media downplays the Good Samaritan narrative following the Indiana shooting. So to refresh your memory, just a few days ago, just last week actually, in Indianapolis, in a mall. I think they were in the food court. I'm not mistaken, but they were in the food court, I believe. A man with, murder on his mind came into a mall and a man began opening fire. I'm going from memory here, but I think I read that he had two other magazines available to him on his person to reload with. He killed three people almost immediately. But here's the thing. Literally, within, I want to say seconds, like I think it's 15 seconds. Yeah, here it is in the article. Police say Elisha Dickon, who is only 22 years old, who was a concealed carry permit holder, who was, you know, trained in whatever pistol he was carrying. I don't know what I'd love to know what he was carrying too. But police say Elisha Dickon ended the mass shooting by killing the gunman, saved lives, noting that only about 15 seconds passed from the time the suspect opened fire until he was shot. Now, first of all, I will just tell you this. I've spent enough time with firearms to know that just firing at a stationary target, if you're not overly familiar, can be an uncomfortable process. People have a tendency to react to the firearm. They have a tendency to sort of react in advance of the shot being fired. You squeeze the trigger you jerk the trigger instead of squeezing the trigger. You know, it's hard to gain a shot sight alignment when the target's moving. I don't know what the status was here, but here's what I do know. One report that I read said that within 15 seconds of the murderer opening fire in a crowded mall, that Dickon pulled his firearm and fired 8 shots and hit the guy from 40 yards. I saw that in one discussion on the 5, I believe it was, Dana Perino said, would he please join the Navy SEALs next? This guy's just, what a kid. So gotta love that. But here's the deal. Left-leaning pundits and journalists, according to this article on Fox, are quick to argue that a legal gun owner halting a mass shooting is a rare occurrence and is not a viable solution to mitigating gun violence. Nobody says that it happens every time. But the fact that it happens sometimes means more lives were saved. I had one troll on social media that I posted this story, and they came back and said, now do the one on the 400 cops who showed up in Uvalde, Texas and did nothing. And my response was, why? What do they have to do with each other? And they said, well, 400 showed up and didn't do anything. And I said, how about we celebrate the ones that were saved by this kid in Indianapolis? Here's an idea. Celebrate when it worked. And by the way, those were police officers who should have known better, and they should have bucked their leadership. But their leadership hosed that situation. So, yeah. In this case, you had a well-motivated and armed citizen who took out a shooter. On Monday night, it says CNN reporter Omar Jimenez brought up statistics from Texas State University Rapid Response Training, which purports that of the 434 active shooter attacks that have occurred in the last 20 years, only 22 ended with an armed bystander neutralizing the shooter. And I say, so what? That's 22 that neutralized a bad guy. How many lives did those 22 save? Do we know? A CNN opinion piece from Tuesday also similarly asserted that the math on armed citizens stopping shooters doesn't quite work. What is there to work? We're not saying that an armed citizenry stops every bad guy. What we're saying is that armed good guys do, in fact, sometimes stop bad guys, but if you disarm the good guys, those 22 incidents would not have happened. If Dickon had not been armed at the time, how many more would have died in that that shopping mall? All right, Kelsey, take us to a break, man. We'll go do this, and we're going to come right back. Listen, y'all, I want to hear your thoughts on this. 866-494-9866. Good guys with guns, bad guys with guns. Your thoughts in general. Call it all in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right, depending upon where you are right now across the northern part of our state. You might be getting pummeled with pop-up showers, so just watch the weather as we approach go-home time here. I'm still in number two of the Triple Dipper. This is gonna wrap around to the next half hour, I guarantee you. Good guys with guns. If you want to call in, I'd love to take those calls, 866-494-9866. I will say this. The first article that I had up was from Fox, and it continues to sort of outline the fact that the liberal media and the gun rights, they hate it when a good guy does something good with a gun, when a good guy stops a bad guy. And they want to statistically play it down. Well, it doesn't pan out that way quite. I mean, it doesn't really pan out. In the mass shootings that have been recorded since the last 20 years, 434 of them, only 22 have resulted in a good guy stopping, you know, a bystander stopping things. What's your point? What is your actual point? So what you're saying is those good guys, well, it didn't really count. You know, doesn't really count. Why? Did those 22 not save lives? My understanding is they did. I got plenty more on that, but let me jump over the phones real quick. Line 3, John from Decatur. Hey, John, how you doing today?
Very well, sir. I think that the statistics they use of the number of times that a civilian stops shooters are deliberately skewed because they include all shootings stopped by them. But what they don't consider is the fact in the majority of those cases are areas where civilians aren't permitted to carry firearms. So
exactly.
There is no armed citizen there to make an attempt to stop it. So it is artificially a low number. What would be appropriate would be to take the number of stops where there were armed citizens permitted to be. And I think in that case, we're going to see a much higher percentage of times that a armed civilian, the good guy, stops the bad guy.
No, it's a perfect point. In fact, I've got an article here in a minute that I'll jump into on that. You're exactly right, is that very often the bad guys perpetrate these crimes in places where they know they don't face any armed opposition. And in this particular case, we're looking at this kid, what was his name again? I'm sorry. Eli Dickin, who literally was, according to the mall rules, not supposed to be carrying. It wasn't a law. It was just a rule. And guess what? It's a good thing he chose to not obey that rule. I got about a minute. Let me grab the next call real quick. Hey, man, appreciate your call. Thanks so much. Let me jump onto another one before I run out of time. Jeff from Boaz. Hey, Jeff, I got about 45 seconds, I mean. What you got, bud?
Hey, Mr. Weaves. Hey, just wanted to make a quick comment that with the media is all too quick to say if one life is saved whenever they make sweeping gun control laws that are ineffectual at best. Yet, whenever an armed citizen saves many lives, evidently those lives don't matter.
That's a great point. What a great point. You know what? I hadn't even gone down that road in my mind, but you are right. Absolutely right. Jeff, thanks for the call, man. Coming up on the break right now, so we're going to have to go ahead and bump it there, but we appreciate you. That was a great point. Yeah, so literally, media wants to claim they save lives when they take your guns. They don't want to talk about when you save lives because you had guns. What a great point. All right, more on this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all call in if you want to. 866-494-9866. We will be right back. Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here in the Right Side Studios. It is 4:35 p.m. go home time for some of y'all. And I'm going to tell you right now, you may be thinking when I'm on the way home, what am I going to, I want something for dinner. I don't want the same old, same old. I don't want to do the drive-through fast food line. I'm tired of French fries. You know, I'm just saying there's other options out there. One of which I got to suggest to you is this Just Love Coffee Cafe. Yeah, but Phil, it's a coffee shop. No, it's Just Love Coffee Cafe. See, there's two parts of that. Just Love Coffee. Yeah, they got great coffee. They got all the great, they got award-winning coffees. So you want a cappuccino, you want just a cup of dry roast, grind the beans fresh, make you a cup of black hot coffee. Great. Absolutely. But they've got sandwiches. They got wraps. They got salads. They got waffles. They got breakfast you can have for dinner if you want to. Three meals a day, Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville near Whole Foods. I'm just saying, folks, I love these locations too. You can pick it up to go if you want to, take it to the house. You can pick it up in the morning on the way to work, but you can also just stop there and hang out a bit. Use the internet, enjoy the atmosphere, meet with some friends. I'm just saying, an alternative might be Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations, two locations, one in Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. Hey, is that a live call on line 5, Kelsey? I think it is. All right, let me just do that. I'll jump over real quick. Line 5, Joe from Decatur. Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Senator, how are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Good. You asked a question. For some reason, I'm getting feedback, but sorry about that. You asked a question about if somebody knows about people who have protected other people with firearms.
Right.
I'm looking at the NRA magazine, dated, Rifleman dated, April 22, page 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 articles on that subject.
Yeah.
So I just thought I'd call and let you know that.
Hey, man, I appreciate that very much.
There's a lot of them around. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I appreciate that. In fact, I'm about to go into one of those lists right now, as a matter of fact. The NRA is great about gathering those stories and getting the word out.
Yep. And, it happens all the time and everywhere.
It does.
But nobody talks about it.
Hey, Joe, appreciate that. Thank you very much, man. And you have a great day. And listen, he's right. That does not get public. I'm about to do it myself. I'm about to go down a list of just some of those same things. You know, the NRA is like the whipping boy for the Democrats right now, but it ain't working. It ain't working. They ran them out of New York. You know what they do? They set up shop in Texas. They're fine. They're still doing their gig, defending the Second Amendment. And oh, by the way, if you're a member of the NRA, you do get their, what's the name of the magazine? American Sportsman? I've forgotten the name of it. But you get their monthly, and they collect the stories of exactly what we're talking about. They collect the stories of the people who are the good guys with the guns who defend against the bad guys with the guns. Let me run down a couple things here. First of all, I will tell you this story I've got here on the Federalist, or from the Federalist, just kind of wrapping up this piece about that kid, Eli Dickin, who took out the bad guy in Indianapolis Mall. Eli Dickin, here's the details they've got. Are you ready for this? Eli Dickin, within 15 seconds of the bad guy beginning to shoot innocent victims, he pulled out his 9mm and fired off 10 rounds, and he hit the guy with 8 of them. That's rounds on target 80% as a 22-year-old concealed carry permit holder. I'm just going to say, that's smoking right there. But he goes on to point out that the New York Times that did one of those, well, you know, there's really not that many of these that are resolved by armed bystanders. Well, so what? So they want to call it a statistical unicorn? So what? And it says, basically, he does some of the same things that I say or said a minute ago, that, you know, what does it mean when they don't show up? It means more people died. And so that he points out here that by doing this, what happened is the New York Times has basically sort of made their case for more concealed carry, because what they said was, well, you know, some lives were saved sometimes, but not all the time. Okay, let's arm more people then. Maybe we'll save more lives. Oh, wait, we didn't mean that. Why didn't you mean that? Why didn't you mean that? New York Times, liberals, why didn't you mean that? Why did you not mean let's save more lives? What is your point? Well, we need more people to die so we can get rid of the NRA and the evil Second Amendment. I'm reading between the lines, but that's what I'm seeing. So let me just tell you, my caller a moment ago, Joe from Decatur, he's spot on. And there's a couple of outlets that will do this. They'll put together the real stories. And I've got one here. This one didn't come from the NRA. This one came from National Interest. But nationalinterest.org, and this story, by the way, is from March of 2020. So a couple years old, but March of 2020, they point out, and I thought this was significant, because you see, right now, the liberals with regards to the Indianapolis shooter being taken out want to say, there's only been 434 mass shootings since, you know, the last 20 years, and only 22 of those resulted in an armed bystander taking out the bad guy. What they don't tell you is those were mass shootings that were on record as a mass shooting. What they're not taking into account is the number of times, literally, that an armed citizen stopped a crime against themselves or others that was not a mass shooting with their firearm, which happens, depending upon the number of reports you're reading, they say within 500,000 to a million times or more per year. And it says, even if we assume the low end of this range, it means that an incredible number of times Americans relied on the Second Amendment, not government getting there on time, to protect their inalienable rights. And so what they did was they collected some stories. This article I've got from March of 2020 says 12 stories about a good guy with a gun that progressives won't like. By the way, it's interesting to me, too. Google does a good job of suppressing these stories. I knew these stories were out there because I found them before. But in my resourcing today, when I was doing intentional searching, I'm going to tell you right now, I had to go through about 5 pages of Google bringing up the fact that active shooters don't always get stopped by good guys with guns. All right, how about the ones that do? Here we are. Let me read you a few of these. By the way, all of these came in 1 month. In 1 month in 2020. January 1st, in Dublin, California, a lawful gun owner relied upon his Second Amendment rights to defend his own life when an ex-girlfriend and her armed acquaintance assaulted him in his own home. They burst into the door saying that they believed he had some of her possessions and he had to take out his own gun to protect himself. And the armed acquaintance was charged by killing the girlfriend later. All right, January 4, Columbus, Indiana. This is 2020. A homeowner shot and killed an intruder who was wielding a baseball bat who broke into his home in the middle of the night. Neighbors report that in the minutes before the shooting, the man was seen walking up and down the street in a highly agitated manner, smashing windows and cursing loudly. And he broke into this man's house. And he had a gun, and he shot the man. January 7th, Pascagoula, Mississippi. A man suspected a string of burglaries picked the wrong house to break into at the wrong time. An armed homeowner in the middle of the night returned in the middle of the morning to find the burglar in his bedroom. The burglar tried to pull his own gun, but the homeowner was armed and instead shot and killed him. January 10th, a concealed carry permit holder was socializing with guests at a home cookout when 3 armed men attempted to rob them all at gunpoint. The permit holder drew his own handgun and fatally shot one of the robbers, and the other 2 fled. How about this one? January 12th, Pittsburgh. A young father used his handgun to defend himself, his fiancée, and their 10-month-old child after an intruder broke into their apartment and threatened them at gunpoint. The man shot and killed the intruder. How about this one? January 19th, Danville, Illinois. When several armed men wearing ski masks kicked in his door one night, a 31-year-old homeowner defended himself with his handgun, firing multiple rounds at the intruders. One was killed, the others fled. How about this one? Cape Coral, Florida. A good Samaritan with a firearm in his truck defended 3 women from a man who had followed them out of a bar in a threatening manner. The women yelled at passing vehicles for help. The truck driver stopped and allowed the women to take refuge inside as he confronted the aggressive man. The man retreated to his own vehicle when he saw the truck driver was armed. He then rammed their truck several times while the women were still inside. The truck driver fired a couple of rounds into the tailgate of the man's vehicle and held him at gunpoint till police arrived, and police had charged the man with aggravated assault and determined the truck driver acted in lawful defense of himself and the women. I'm just telling you. How about this one? January 27th, a 13-year-old boy used his family's rifle to protect his grandmother during a domestic violence incident, shooting and wounding a man because he was fearful his grandmother was going to be killed. Investigators said the man was actively assaulting the boy's grandmother and threatened other family members, including that juvenile. So they point out, and there were more. Here's one, January 31st, Detroit. A woman shot and wounded the man who broke into her apartment in the middle of the night. A neighbor told reporters it's a dangerous neighborhood, and there are regularly gunshots up and down the area. This time, the gunshots from a law-abiding citizen. So as they closed out that storyline, they said the good guy with a gun is not a myth. It's an integral part of American society, serving to protect individual liberties and increasing public safety. It says we all want safe communities, but our focus should be on doing the right thing instead of just doing something. The right thing certainly includes protecting constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens who regularly rely on those rights. There was no reason for me to paraphrase any of that. It was so good. It was worth just reading it to you. That article summarizes so much of what I'm trying to say, is that good guys with guns, they actually do stop bad guys with guns. And they may not stop every bad guy with a gun, but why do we have to have it be 100%? The Second Amendment should not be considered the panacea for everyone's concerns about crime, but it's helping some. And what I would like to know is, of those 500,000 plus who stopped the bad guy at their own home or from perpetrating a crime against a friend or, you know, guarding their family or guarding bystanders, what happens if they don't show up with a gun? What happens if the armed intruder, the bad guys who don't care about the laws, by the way, if you think you're going to disarm people, no, you're going to disarm good guys. you're going to disarm the law-abiding citizens. And I got news. The criminals, they could care less. That guy who came into the mall, he wasn't supposed to be there with a gun either, liberals. But he was. And I'm thankful that Eli Dickin was there too, who could put 8 out of 10 rounds on target from 40 yards under pressure and stop a bad guy. That's just the heat right there. All right, Kelsey, last break of the day, man. Let's go ahead and take it, and we'll head on that. You want to call in? I'll take that call. Kelsey, I see I got to call the line. Ask him to hold, please, and I'll take him as soon as we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. I got two folks that held on during the break, and I certainly appreciate that. Which one's first there? Line one, Kelsey, is that where I'm going first?
Yeah, line one.
I believe it is. Yeah, all right, let's do that. Line one, Dustin from Decatur. Dustin, how you doing today, man?
What's going on, Phil? Right Side Ruffian here.
Hey, appreciate it. Glad to hear it. What you got, man? What's on your mind?
Man, well, I'm one of those statistics that you're talking about.
Okay.
You know, at a young age, 13, I believe I was, and it was family. My brother-in-law's, so I guess it technically be my uncle, came over out from California, thought he was some big bad gangster, and had a tussle with my mother over, you know, a .22 pistol in the car. So I ran inside and grabbed my rifle and put it up to the man's head, and I said, look, you can either let go of that pistol or you can die right here.
Well,
so,
that.
I mean,
wow.
You know, not something I should have had to have done at 13, but at the end of the day, it happens.
No,
so,
it absolutely,
you know,
did. Yep.
All the time. So, and hey, man, stop drinking so much common sense.
Hey, Dustin, appreciate you, man. I'm glad you were there that day with the wherewithal, even as 13 years old, to stop a bad guy. So, yeah, appreciate what you did. That's awesome. Thanks for the call. All right, let me jump over to line two real quick. Walker from Harvest. Walker, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Phil. This is Walker from Right Side Ruffian from Harvest, Alabama. How you doing, sir?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Glad to hear you're a Right Side Ruffian. What's on your mind?
You talked about people with concealed carries and intervening and it not being reported. What they're not even covering is someone like me. I've been concealed carrying in Alabama for about 10 years. And I've stopped 2 robberies and saved my own life once.
Wow. Wow. See, it doesn't have to be a mass shooting. Sometimes it's just stopping a bad guy, period. Yeah, that's...
And the second robbery I stopped, the first one they got away, but the second one ended in 3 arrests.
Well, there you go. And I tell you what, Walker, first of all, thank you for your willingness to face it down. But secondly, let me ask you this. I mean, do you consider yourself to be a superhero of any kind? I mean, are you just a normal guy?
No, I'm a normal guy.
Yeah, that's just
and,
it.
And, you know, I really got in to protect my family after incidents we had in Florida. And I said, you know, I need to be able to protect my family, and it just grew.
Well, good enough. And, you know, here we are in a state now that doesn't even require concealed carry permits, but some states are trying to make it even harder, though.
Yes, they are. And when I travel cross country, I have to do like a load, you know, a plan of, all right, what do I do with my gun when I cross this state line, and what do I do with it when I cross this state line?
Yeah. And I tell you what's galling, too, is how many people in the military who have more training with weapons than pretty much anybody in you know, civilian sector on the average. They're not allowed to have their firearms. They have to register their firearms on military posts most often.
Yeah. Well, my son was going to move on Redstone, and he's a police officer. And the registering of all of his firearms, you know, his police firearms, was just too much.
Yeah.
Is he the police officer and a soldier?
It just makes no sense. Hey, Walker, appreciate you, man. Thanks for what you do. Thanks for sharing your story. We thank you very much, and have a great day.
All right, thank you, Phil. Take care. May the Lord bless you, sir.
Yeah, you too, sir. Well, I tell you, man, I got the best audience. I got the best audience. Bunch of right side ruffians just out there just doing the thing. Both of those guys just called in and were able to say, yep, had a firearm and was able to stop bad things from happening. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's not, they weren't out looking for the fight. 13 years old. Dustin, I believe his name was. Dustin wasn't looking for the fight. But you know what? He was willing to be there. And that's the thing. What happens when the good guys are not allowed to have the guns? The bad guys will still have them. So I'm just saying, this whole thing about the narrative you're seeing right now in the media that, well, you know, good guys with guns are not that common in stopping them. They are extremely common. And when you consider that 5% of all mass shootings, 5% resulted in an armed citizen taking down the bad guy, well, how many lives were saved by that 5%? And then you consider that some statistics say between 500,000 and 1 million incidents like the ones that we're talking about there with our last two callers. I mean, how much life, limb, and property has been saved by good guys with guns facing down the bad guys with guns? All right, folks, amazing show because we have an amazing audience. Listen, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2. I'm just telling you. Oh, man, this show, something else. You guys are it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. We're back here at 2. Y'all have a great night.